Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. 844-967-2789. Your calls, always welcome here. Going to be joined by a fine guest in the about an hour from now, Mark Thompson. He is an attorney, he is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, and he is a wanted man. A threatened, felonious warrant out for his arrest. We'll talk about it with Mark. He doesn't seem very scared to me.
Is he going to be broadcasting from an undisclosed location?
Oh, we'll undisclose it. We'll put him in the bunker, 2.0. He will not be in studio, technically. He's Zooming in, so you don't know where Mark's going to be.
He should blur his background. Mark, if you're listening, blur your background.
Blur your background, Mark. Anyways, we'll get to that. And want to get to some of the sound. Merrick Garland, the headline over at thehill.com, Department of Justice sues over Texas redistricting plan. And we've got the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland. Here is what he said today. Let's play it for the people. Fancy, if you would, play Cut 15, A.G. Garland.
The Justice Department has filed suit against the state of Texas for violating Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. As the Supreme Court has observed, a core principle of our democracy is that, quote, voters should choose the representatives, not the other way around.
Slow down, Merrick Garland. You know, how quaint that notion. Of course the politicians should be able to pick their voters. How else do they get reelected? More from the Attorney General, Cut 16, if you would, Fancy.
The complaint we filed today alleges that Texas has violated Section 2 by creating redistricting plans that deny or abridge the rights of Latino and Black voters to vote on account of their race, color, or membership in a language minority group.
One more from the Attorney General regarding the Texas voting rights law and a new lawsuit dropped by the Department of Justice. Play for the people. Cut 17, please.
Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act requires that state voting laws, including laws that draw electoral maps, provide eligible voters with an equal opportunity to participate in the democratic process and elect representatives of their choosing.
Now, we've got a little more sound regarding the Department of Justice lawsuit. This from Assistant Attorney General Vanita Gupta. If you would, Fancy Brian, drop cut 10.
Texas's 2021 redistricting plans were enacted through a rushed process with minimal opportunity for public comment, without any expert testimony, and with an overall disregard for the massive minority population growth in Texas over the last decade.
Now, I would point out that's exactly what was done in the state of Wisconsin, although our population growth amongst minorities is not as dramatic.
I was going to say that sounds exactly the same.
Same. More from Assistant AG Vanita Gupta of the Department of Justice regarding the Texas laws and the lawsuit the DOJ dropped today. Cut 11.
Texas will gain 2 new congressional seats because of its population growth, almost all of which is due to growth in the state's minority population. However, Texas has designed both of those new seats to have white voting majorities.
A couple of white guys. Why not a couple of more Louis Gohmerts coming out of Texas? Don't you feel well served in Harris County in Houston by a guy like Louis Gohmert and a couple more like him?
I don't understand, but I understand.
One more from the Assistant Attorney General. Her name again, Vanita Gupta. The Department of Justice lawsuit against the state of Texas. Cut 12, please.
The redistricting plans approved by the Texas state legislature and signed into law by the governor will deny Black and Latino voters an equal opportunity to participate in the voting process and to elect representatives of their choice in violation of the Voting Rights Act.
You know, so what? You disenfranchise some voters and, you know, just because your minority population in the state of Texas is growing overwhelmingly, why shouldn't a couple more white guys get congressional seats?
You know, when I think of Texas, I think of just only white guys and nothing else.
10-gallon hats. Everybody calls each other Tex, big belt.
Oh, 100%. That's all it is. Nothing else.
Maybe we broad brush. Maybe.
Perhaps, especially since it's becoming more and more purple by the day. But whatever.
Want to turn towards our backyard. Laura Thornton at the Washington Post. Why international election observers would give Wisconsin a failing grade. On November 10th, Senator Ron Johnson and Republican state lawmakers proposed a hostile takeover of the election management in their state, meaning my state, in Wisconsin. As Johnson told the New York Times, and this is a quote, "Unfortunately, I probably don't expect Democrats to follow the rules, and other people don't either, and that's the problem." Johnson's conclusion? The current system of bipartisan oversight by both parties should be abolished, and Republican legislators must be in control of the elections in which they are competing. You know, kind of like Brian Kemp running the election in the state of Georgia that Brian Kemp's running for Georgia governor in against Stacey Abrams.
How did that work out?
Well, not so well for Democracy or Stacey Abrams.
Oh, so the person who was overseeing it ended up winning that election.
Strangely, that is exactly what happened.
Huh, must be a coincidence.
And I also looked all the way back to the Catherine Harris days in Florida. You remember when Jeb was the governor and his brother won the presidency? A little bit more here from this piece at the Post. I spent more than two decades living and working overseas to advance democracy and credible elections. Credible elections. Giving me plenty of opportunity to see the lengths in which autocrats will go to gain power. Even so, the proposed Wisconsin power grab is shocking in its brazenness. If this occurred in any other country where the United States provides aid, it would immediately be called out as a threat to democracy. U.S. diplomats would be writing furious cables, and decision makers would be threatening to cut off the flow of assistance. Yet we are conspicuously failing to hold ourselves to the same standard. It is difficult to assess actions in our own country through international lens. We are too mired in events and have too much at stake. But imagine for a moment that we were a foreign election observer touching down in an unfamiliar land called Wisconsin. Experts around the world have spent years analyzing the best ways to manage elections to ensure democratic outcomes. A nonpartisan election body is considered best practice. The U.S. aid agency's own guidelines on elections emphasize the importance of neutral and independent election management. Even when countries establish a nonpartisan body of professionals, there is a constant debate around how election administrators are selected and who does the selecting. In Georgia, the country, you know, not the state, I once had to listen to hours of complaints about how an election official had a sister who in high school dated a man who was now affiliated with a political party, casting the whole election in doubt. Talking about some Page Six gossip. Knowing all this, our imaginary election observer in Wisconsin would be alarmed by Republican politicians openly stating that they alone should run the election process rather than a bipartisan commission of professionals. Now, here in parentheticals, it is written, Johnson has bluntly said that the Republican-controlled state legislature should reassert its power. In other countries, political parties trying to control elections usually attempt to hide their maneuvers. They might try to quietly exert pressure on elections officials or curry influence with them behind the scenes. In Cambodia, where I once led an audit of voter registry, they showed serious manipulation by the Elections Commission. Its members defended their work by pointing to the commission's ostensible independence. There's usually at least lip service to the importance of neutral election administration, in large part to assuage the international community.
Even Putin
Johnson care about Putin's wishes.
Even Putin tries a little bit.
Well, sort of. Why would the United States behave better under the scrutiny of foreign observation? Unlikely. We're reluctant to even let observers from the Organization for Security and Cooperation. We're not letting those cooperators in here. In Europe, conduct monitoring missions. We largely ignore neutral democratic assessments of our country, including one recently issued by the Stockholm-based International Institute for Democracy and Electoral Assistance that labeled the United States a, and this is a direct quote, a backsliding democracy. Americans think of ourselves as teachers of democracy, not students, so we tend to ignore external assessments of our behavior, even when it follows the very same standards we have used for judging others. Now, we are increasingly disregarding internal critiques as well, relying on the convenient accusation of partisanship. there are no recognized neutral referees anymore. Wisconsin proposes an indisputably undemocratic action, but calling that out is dismissed as party politics. You know, they got the better candidates and the better ideas, according to them. A little bit more here. Them, the Republicans. During my 25-year career in international democracy work, I lived through coups and conflicts and observed dozens of elections. I thought I'd seen it all, only to find myself overwhelmed by our own democratic dysfunction and lack of a clear path forward. Wisconsin shenanigans are just the latest in a series of actions to undermine the most basic democratic principles we demand of others. One person, one vote, neutral election management, majority rule, acceptance of election results. Are you listening, Trump? Peaceful transition of power. Don't storm your legislature and attack people and then pretend it didn't happen. The contempt for past standards creates myriad opportunities for malign actors, foreign and domestic, to drive our democracy into a deep death spiral. It concludes here. I'm almost done. Sort of a dramatic reading. Am I doing okay? I'm not always great.
You're fine.
Reading
I'm here.
Aloud
I'm,
on a Monday.
I'm waiting patiently.
Okay. Well,
not even waiting. I'm paying attention.
You are rapturously. A little bit more. Here's the conclusion. As I've said to desperate Democrats elsewhere, it is up to us, the people. No party or leader will save us here. No foreign savior will shake us out of our stupor. Americans need to start caring about democracy enough to act on it. Act on it. Get off your ass. A little bit more. Not our audience. They're you know, no couch potatoes.
Always standing.
Always standing and doing our part. We must organize, engage in peaceful protest, and take inspiration from others, such as those brave activists in Hong Kong willing to stand up to the might of the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah, wear that sort of Tiananmen Square courage here. I mean, I get arrested for singing in the Capitol. A little Amazing Grace, a few bars, 45 seconds in, I'm arrested. I think I'm a hero. There was no I had some zip cuffs on and I was quite uncomfortable and my blood pressure rose, but that's not real danger. You know what I mean?
No, I know. But
I was willing to face the consequence of a $200 ticket and a trip down to the cafeteria basement where I was issued a ticket. But that's where the fascism starts, you know, because they weren't really, really trying to throw any of us in prison per se. Just stop the protest. The peaceful protest. Here is the end of the conclusion. And if we don't, if we shrug off acts such as Wisconsin, well, then it's our own fault. Apathy is how democracies die. I've seen it. So anyways, our theme right now, you know, what's the worst that could happen? The end of democracy.
You remember all those movies in the 80s pretty much all had the same theme of like us paternalistically like talking to the Russian people like, this is how democracy works. You guys don't understand that in communist Russia. Let me show you how democracy works. And we're starting to slip down the same darn slope. What a wonderful world.
Was that Moscow on the Hudson you're quoting there?
Yes, or Rocky IV or something like that. Or Ruskies, depending on which movie you want to reference.
I would break him.
I must break you.
If he dies, he dies. The opinion piece, Laura Thornton at the Washington Post. Why international election observers would give Wisconsin a failing grade? Hell, they would say democracy is dying on the vine right here. And apathy is unacceptable, at least for listeners of the greatest radio show ever. That's you people. And us people. Me and Fancy Brian, Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Got one more segment, and your phone calls could be next. One more segment this hour. Got another big hour. 844-967-2789. I hope I'm not confusing all the fine people, whether that's you or us. We're confused. We'll be back. Well, I'll be riding on the bus till I can't
lie. The American people don't know we have comedy in Russia. We have comedians. They're there. They're dead.
Well, now, I'm no lawyer, but I do believe that's a violation of my rights.
What a country! America, I love it!
If he dies,